EHAS Club presents Stories to Create Podcast, where the tale of our guest takes you back, way back to where the story first got created. Now, to help create this new story, here is your host, Cornell Bunting.
Welcome, welcome to another episode of Stories to Create Podcast right here at EHAS Club. I got to tell you guys, you're in for a treat today. For all you listeners that have started with me from the beginning of season one, we're in season four right now. And I'm telling you guys, you have heard his name in our very first episode of the show mention, and I know you guys have been having a lot of questions, but hey, maybe he'll answer some of them today in this episode. So without further ado, I gotta bring to the table the big man. Some would say black government. He is our black government, people that help us here in Southwest Florida, but he's the big man behind Southwest Florida Impact. He's doing a huge amount of philanthropy work here in Southwest Florida. And so without further ado, help me welcome Mr. Lee Ford.
What an intro.
This is a long time coming.
Yeah.
But you're busy.
Well, that's true. You, I have a lot of stuff on my plate. Go for it.
You hear it, guys. So Before we're going to go into some stuff, but one of the things that I know a lot of my listeners, they want to hear from you, because they heard from your brother, who was our very first guest on the show, Pastor Ford, when he talked about how you put a whooping on him and his brother. So we gonna have you take our listeners back to the early years, you know, where, you know, of course, born, grew up. What was that like?
Well, the way we, back in my days, this is the 60s and the early 70s. When we grew up in our family in Naples.
Yes.
Our mother and father both worked all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the oldest.
Right.
I'm about 6 years older than my brother, Greg, mm-hmm. who passed mm-hmm. forward, who you had here.
Right.
And my mother taught us some great life lessons, and my father. And the thing is, whoever they left in charge.
Yeah. That's who was in charge.
That's who was in charge. And regardless of what they do, whether you knew about it or not.
Right.
You was responsible.
Okay.
See, what Pastor Ford failed to tell you is what they was doing that required me to respond or react that way, because the way my mother ran the house is I got it from them.
Right. Oh, okay.
So all I did was when I get it from them from something that they did, then I would just carry it over and take care of them.
That's
what happened. See, what he didn't tell you, I don't know which one of those episodes with me and them that they were talking about, but I remember the biggest one was we had just moved into our new home.
Yeah.
We went in that house 2 weeks.
Wow.
My brother Greg and Nate decided they're going to play softball in the living room.
Oh, no. Oh, yes. Man.
So they took a bat and hit the wall.
Oh, no.
And put a dent in my mother's wall right there going into the kitchen. So you can't miss it.
You can't miss it.
I was in the room,
in her
room, in my father's room, making up the beds and stuff, doing my job, you know. I didn't know they was in the living room playing softball.
Right.
So I hear this noise. I go out there. They don't hit the wall with the bat. And put a dent in it, so I know what's going to happen when my mother and father get home.
Right.
They're not going to them.
Right, they coming to you.
I can tell her, and I did try, but they don't listen, that I was in their room making up their bed, cleaning up their stuff, when they were out here playing baseball, softball in the living room.
Right. You know,
they didn't want to hear that.
Oh, my goodness.
So my mother took care of me when she got home after she looked at me and wanted to know how I let them do that, and then the way it was and the way it is back then was when my father came home after work, she told him about it. Oh. But guess what else happened? My father would always say, come in, mister, we need to have a conversation.
Oh, no.
There was no conversation. You don't talk.
Right.
He's doing all the talking. And he took care of me, too.
See, oh, they
don't
man.
He don't tell that part. He just talk about what I did to them. And boy, did I take care of him and my brother. So don't get it twisted, folks. Yeah. I wasn't abusing them.
What he said was, they were making noise. You tried to tell them to stop the noise. And then you came to the room to shut down whatever they were
doing. I've done that many times, too, because, see, my mother worked at Naples Community Hospital. She worked 3 to 11. And my father, he gets off at 5:30, but he wouldn't be home till much later after that. But it was my job to make sure that they did their homework, and they went to bed, took their bath and went to bed on time so they could go to school the next morning.
Right.
Well, you know, they ain't want to hear that.
They ain't want
to
hear
that. They in the room making all this noise, carrying on. They should be going to sleep.
Right.
And I have been in there and told them once. I said, okay, guys, you cut this out. You need to go to sleep.
Yeah.
In here. They decided they weren't going to.
Okay.
What he also may not have told you is when I went back in there that last time.
Yeah.
He had a baseball bat and my other brother, Nate, had a guitar. One of them had a guitar, one had a bat. I don't really know which one. What?
They were gonna hit you.
They were gonna trap me. They kept making noise so I didn't come in the room. It was dark. You couldn't see. They had the lights off and everything. Yeah. But soon I walked in the room.
Yeah.
I saw Nate and I caught the. He had the bat, I believe.
Yeah.
Caught it, and then he was over there with the guitar. And Nate, my brother Nate, just fell down. He just gave up. He just went to crying and just fell out. And then because he knew what was coming, and Rev got mad at him then because he knew.
Yeah.
I was coming for him too then. So they didn't tell you all that ambushing they had planned.
Oh, okay.
But that when I slammed around, I picked that little joker up, boy, and threw him across that room against the wall and everything. Because they were trying to take me out. They were trying to take me out. His plan was to take me out.
Yeah. Oh, man. You were the disciplinary.
See, you wonder why some people are now in the church and preaching. See, you have to go back and check their history. There's a reason why most people are in the church, you know, they had to go get them and bring them in.
Oh, yeah. They had to bring them in. Oh, man. So Naples was most of the upbringings.
I grew up there. I graduated from Naples High in 74.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I went through fun time nursery there as a little kid. Grew up there. You just go back and forth between Naples and Alabama.
Oh, okay. Where I was born. It's Alabama.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
Greg and Nate and all my other siblings were born in Naples.
Oh, okay.
I was the one born in
Naples. What was that like going back and forth to Alabama?
Now that I'm older and look back on it, I think that was good. I loved it.
Okay.
I liked it. Not then.
Right.
Because I felt like my parents were just abandoning me up there in the woods. On the farms with my grandparents.
But okay.
Now that I look back on it, I'm glad I did that. It was a great experience. Growing up there, messing with the animals, the hogs and the horses and the mules and the cows and the bulls.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and my uncle's going out every morning catching rabbits.
Yeah.
And stuff and bringing it home, bringing it to the house. And my grandmother and my aunts go on the porch and dress them.
Wow.
In the mornings, and about a few hours later, boy, you eating smothered rabbit or fried rabbit.
So that was kind of like your favorite meal.
Yeah, running around the yard catching chickens and
snacking
on their, snapping their necks and taking them to grandma and my aunts, and they dress those, and we end up eating fried chicken.
Wow. In that early time, because you've seen the news where they were showing how, you know, people of color was getting mistreated and stuff like that. Did you guys experience none of that? What was that look like for you?
Back in those days, we used to, well, we did drive a lot. I used to ride in cars with my father and my aunts and all that stuff, uncles.
Yeah.
But I also remember going up there on Trailways bus. And I had one experience once where I wanted to sit behind the driver. I remember, I'm seeing it right now in my head. I wanted to sit behind the driver, and I did.
Yeah.
And my aunt that went with me, she was sitting about near to the back of the bus.
Right.
And the driver of the bus told me that I had to move and go to the back.
Ooh.
But I was a kid.
Right.
I mean, a little young kid. I had no clue. So I went to go, and my aunt said, no, you don't.
Okay.
So you sit right there. You sit there if you want to. That's where you want to sit.
Right.
And that's where I sat.
Oh, that's good.
And he never said anything else to me about it. I guess he wasn't there the way she looked to me. I mean, but so that I remember.
Yeah.
And I also remember one time my grandmother, I went with her downtown Camp Hill, Alabama, to a pharmacy. She went to pick up a prescription for one of my little cousins. And baby.
Yeah.
Infant prescription.
Right.
And I was much older then. I had to be middle school age or something like that. And the guy was treating her, talking to her like she forged the prescription or something.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I'm standing there. You have to understand. Now, I grew up in a nigga. It ain't like that no more.
Right,
you know? Yeah. So I'm standing and listening to this guy.
Yeah.
And he talked to my grandmother. And I told him, I said, wait a minute, man. What does she look like trying to forge a prescription for a baby.
Right,
so why are you talking to her like this? You need to give her this prescription.
Yeah.
Or we just need to go and tell the doctor that you refuse to give her medication or something. Because this don't make any sense. So he just looked at me, right?
Yeah.
And my grandmother was trying to tell me to be quiet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, she was telling me, that's okay. That, you know, stop that. But he went on and fixed it and gave it to her. And then we left.
Oh,
and I told her, I said, Dad, you don't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you look like trying to calling somebody out of a prescription for a baby.
Right. Wow.
It'd have been different if you know, like today, trying to get some pain medication or something. You know, people do that kind of stuff. But, I mean, come on, be real.
Yeah, yeah.
This is my grandmother, too, and it really, upset me. I ain't gonna say whatever. But I couldn't believe that they would do that at that time.
Oh,
but
man.
But he went on and fixed it and gave it to her, and we left. And she was, you know, she didn't say nothing else to me, but I was hot.
Yeah.
Man, I would tell you, I was 38.
Oh, man. So your grandparents in Alabama, they were the cooks.
Well, my grandmother was the cook. And my mother and her sisters, I mean, my aunts. The men would go out, and what I used to love about stuff like that, they did that in the mornings.
Yeah.
They would go out and get stuff like that, rabbits, chickens. I would help go get chickens and eggs out of the coop and all that stuff.
Right.
Me and my uncle and cousins. I had an uncle that was only a year or so older than me.
Yeah.
So we were kind of close and stuff like that. They played tricks on me. They had me go try to catch a hog once.
Ooh.
I was a kid.
Oh,
I had no idea.
Yeah.
My uncles and all of them standing around the pen. And they said, well, go in there and catch that hog right there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Now, they knew I wanted to be there. See, they were having fun with me, right?
Right, right.
I didn't know any better. So I go in there to try to catch this thing. Man, I ate more slop trying to catch that turkey.
Oh, man.
I was so mad with them. I couldn't beat them up or nothing. I was 38 hot. Boy, I was falling down in that slop and stuff. I couldn't catch that turkey.
Oh, man.
Anytime you put your hand on them, they just
slip right through.
But I didn't know any better. I was a little kid.
Yeah.
I just went in there to do it. Because they told me, again, they didn't catch them. I thought I could catch them. But I found out right quick, nope, you're not catching these pigs. Not today.
Not today.
No, you eat a whole lot of slop and mud.
Yeah. When did Fort Myers come into play?
When I came back from school at St. Mary's, Kansas, I went back to Naples.
Mm-hmm.
And I was struggling with employment and stuff.
Okay.
And I moved to Richmond.
Okay.
Virginia.
Okay. Virginia.
Yeah,
okay.
I went there for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Came back to Naples. And things was going very well then.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine I knew from back in the day, his name was Raleigh Rice. He used to be the Parks and Rec director for Collier County.
Right.
And we knew each other very well. I went to school with his son, Joe, and Joe Rice.
Yeah.
And he called me. He was working up here with Don Wanica and the Parks and Rec for the city and asked me if I would come up and look at Dunbar Rec Center. At the time, I was working for the city of Naples as a recreational programming consultant.
Okay.
I had a contract with them. So I came up. I remember Dunbar Rec Center back when I was in school. We used to come up here. They used to have dances and all that stuff with kids in school, teenagers, dances and stuff. So when I went in there that day, when I came here, there was Miss Gibson. She was still there in there. And the place was pretty empty.
Right.
And all I can think of was when the place used to be when I was a kid. How you know, busy and active it was with kids and high school kids, teenagers and everything. And I said, boy, this place used to be, booming. At the time I walked through it, I wasn't sure 100% that I would agree to come do it.
Right.
But it played on my spirit the whole time. Said, listen, you can do this for this community. So you should do it. You know, you remember what it was like. I said, talking to myself.
Right, right.
But Miss Gibson told me when I introduced and I walked in and introduced myself to her and I told her what I was. I was, I'm just looking to see. She told me, no, you're gonna do this.
Yeah.
You got the job.
Wow.
And you're gonna do good here. I said, who is this old lady? So eventually, I did take the job. That's been over 40 years ago now.
Wow.
I've been here since
82. Man.
And,
wow.
So that's how I got here.
That's how you, wow. But you still had a house in Naples.
I got rid of the house.
Oh, okay. Naples.
Yeah.
Okay.
God truly has blessed me. And he continues to do so.
That's beautiful.
It was weird. I got there. I was treated badly when I first come. Bank of America. I knew a lot of people in Naples.
Right.
And a lot of people knew me. And they liked me.
Yeah.
A lot of people liked me. And I got along with folks.
Right.
Except powerful folks.
Okay. Okay.
I didn't realize none of that.
Okay.
You're the first I've ever told this publicly. And I know you got listeners listening.
Oh, yeah.
I found out when I came back to Naples from Virginia. There was a city council person. His name was Red Holland.
Yeah.
Red Holland used to have a painting business, and my brother Nate, my younger brother, who had the heart attack a few years ago.
Yeah.
We used to use Red Holland's license to do painting jobs down in Naples, Aquiline Shores, Gulf Shore Boulevard, all those places where we made great money with that stuff. And he called me over, so I was thinking that's what it was going to be about, was some more work.
Right.
So we had this coffee table, and we sat there drinking coffee, and he was telling me, he proceeded to tell me the reason why I was having so many problems getting the job.
Yeah.
Is that the power folks there decided they need to get rid of me.
Oh, man.
So I was blackballed.
Oh, man.
And I was always wondering, because the last job I had was working for Thompson Grocers.
Right.
On Bayshore in Naples, and anybody down there knows where that is, Dale's store.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, he just started doing this warehouse stuff where he was selling bulk items, sort of like old Sam's or whatever.
Yeah.
And his wife came downstairs one morning in tears. And she said she had to let me go. Well, then, I'm young, and I didn't put nothing in it. I just felt, maybe Dale decided, whatever, and I didn't understand why they would do that because I learned a lot of things when I worked at Eckerd's.
Right.
And I never thought about that either till then.
Right.
That, because they just walked in one morning and told me there that I need to have Daphne for my keys.
Wow.
I was a troubleshooter.
Okay.
I used to come over here to the Eckerd store. There used to be an Eckerd store right here on College Parkway in Fort Myers. I used to come over here and reorganize their stores, reorganize the office. Went to Immokalee, did the same thing and did our store. I was so much in there in Naples, they thought I was the store manager.
Wow.
When the corporate office called out of Clearwater.
Right.
But, like I am now, I'd put more thought into it and realize something's going on here. But back then, I was young, full of my stuff, and I told them, take this job and do whatever, walked off. But That's what he was telling me. He said they needed to get rid of me before I realized my potential.
Oh, wow.
That's exactly what he told me.
Wow, wow.
And I said, what?
Yeah.
He said, yes. Yeah.
Wow.
I said, well, I'll be.
Yeah.
So that's how I ended up leaving Naples. I went up there to stay with my cousin.
Yeah.
Did very good up there as well.
Yeah.
Then I ended up coming back here. When me and the wife decided we weren't going to make it anymore, my first wife.
Okay, okay.
And I came back to Naples, and that's how I ended up here. And then you heard the story how I ended up in Fort Myers.
Right,
and I've been
right.
here ever since.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, they have this crazy stuff that I guess was going on with the railroads, or the railroad track where a lot of people say it seemed like people from the Dunbar community fear going over the track, coming downtown to enjoy what was downtown.
Come on, back then.
Right.
Well, it wasn't fear. It was reality. You couldn't be seen on the west side of the tracks after dusk when the sun go down unless you had a note or something on you from your employer giving you a reason for being on the other side of the track.
But what would happen if you were on the other side of the track?
Well, we don't want to talk about that, do we?
It's not a laughing matter, people.
It's reality. See,
yeah.
and the problem I have with all of this,
yeah,
today even more,
right,
is because people don't want to admit or see their history,
right,
on both sides of the spectrum,
right.
White America don't want to see how they treated black folks and black people. And black folk people and young people don't, were so far removed, they don't see the magnitude or the measure of sacrifice and effort it took for us to be where we are today.
Right.
And the struggle still goes on. It's just the more subtle little things that people do. But the point I'm trying to make is, and everybody know this.
Right.
If you forget your history, if you don't acknowledge your history or aware of your history, you're destined to do what?
You won't know who you are.
Well, not only you don't know who you are, where it took you to get to where you are, but you're destined, those negative things are destined to come back upon you. Because if you're not aware of something that is there, you're not alert enough to be on the lookout and to be curious or notice it when it's coming back at you.
Right.
And there are certain things when you know something, you know how to defend yourself against it.
Right.
You know how to guard yourself against it.
Right.
And you are more alert against it. You understand?
Yeah.
But when you don't want to even acknowledge that it ever happened or that it's not even there.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. But we're dealing with a lot of that right now. But it seemed like the newer generation don't even really know how to handle it.
There's some positive and negatives about the newer generation. First of all, I travel around this area quite a bit. I'm on the East Coast a lot. I'm on the West. I do this kind of thing. And sometimes I'm in environments where I watch people, and I love doing that.
Right.
Is the engagement or the influx or the way they interact, a lot of different groups interact very well together these days than before. And it's wonderful that they do that because that's what it takes. It takes developing relationships with people to get to know people and to realize that, hey, these people aren't whatever.
Right.
And but that's what it takes. But at the same time, there's still those out there who, for whatever reason, refuses to acknowledge their own destiny is in their hands.
Right.
Not mine.
Right.
You can't hold your level, your altitude abilities, your ability to grow and develop.
Right, excel, yeah.
On me.
Right.
I have nothing to do with that.
Right.
You know, the majority of the people in this country and in the world is mostly concerned about their own house, taking care of their kids, going to work, taking care of their bills, doing their job. They're focusing on their own lives.
Right.
They're not really looking at what their neighbor's doing or not doing, who their sister have and not have.
Right.
You understand? Or the neighbor across the street got or don't have.
Right.
And definitely not worried about what black folks are doing on the other side of town or not doing. They're more concerned about what they're doing, and black folks aren't worried about what white folks have or don't have or doing on their side of town.
Right.
Everybody's personally engaged in their own life.
Right.
Mostly.
Yeah.
But you do have those fractions out there that's mostly focused and are being manipulated to deal with segregation and independence to blame someone else for their own inadequacies.
Right.
And the point I want to ask anybody, and I know you've heard this before,
yeah,
we talk about the immigrants, the migrants.
Right.
Now, I know black folks and white folks in this country that got to the point where now one of them want to go out there and pick tomatoes. I don't know none that want to go out there and pick a cucumber.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just saying. And I don't know too many that want to make up a bed.
Right.
Now, they can own a maid company
and
have employees go out there and make up beds every day.
Right.
But I don't know too many black folks or white folk want to go out there and make up beds, cut, trim the trees, and cut the edges and put a roof tile on the roof.
Right. So they're necessary.
They are necessary. Yeah. Stop using it as politics to keep the country divided.
Right.
Come up with some. That's their job, is to come up with a remedy of how to deal with the borders, not throw it back, blame. Like, okay, Trump just, the Senate, and they came up with something they both agreed with, Republican Democrats, to deal with the border issue to help deal with some of this. But Trump said, don't vote it in yet till he gets in office.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Now, what is that?
Yeah.
He outright telling you this is a political football for them.
Yeah.
And he don't want Biden, because he's in office, to get credit for getting the bill passed. He want to be in office when that happens.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's a, now, come on, people.
Yeah.
This ain't about politics. This is about our livelihood.
Oh, yeah.
And our lives and these people. If you're going to build a great country and a beautiful country, now, I got all kind of problems with America. But I'm going to tell you right now, but I don't want to be nowhere else.
I
thank God for blessing me to even be here. I know what my ancestors and history had to do to get me to this point in my life.
Right.
But I said this, and I say it again, it doesn't matter. I'm glad I'm here.
Right.
I would not want to be nowhere else in the world other than where I am.
That's beautiful.
But we have to deal with the reality of issues, and when we're not real with ourselves, that's a phony, that's hypocritical.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
It does not take us to another level of living in this area together. If COVID didn't teach us one thing, it taught us this, and that is we need each other.
We need each other.
One.
Yeah.
And what happens to one happens to the other. The air don't separate between black, white, Spanish.
Not nobody.
None of that.
Yeah.
The air we breathe, we all breathe it.
Right.
So why are we fighting over stuff that's irrelevant?
Right.
It's not relevant to us.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get, let me get off the box.
This is good. Now, you are like the engine. Well, let me not say the engine. You're the head operator for Southwest Florida Impact. Well, when did, like, before you dive into that, how did that even happen, like, to get to that?
Well, to that about level? 6 years ago now, I think it was, Dr. Jewett, Anthony Jewett, and I were on the road to Tallahassee, Pensacola.
Yeah.
Pensacola. He wanted to open up a school. That was his ambition at the time. He was interested in going, opening up a school, private school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taking him to meet with some people I knew in Pensacola who had done all that in the state before. To try to help him do that. But as we was going, he was talking about some of the things that he had done as a profession during this time.
Right.
And he was telling me about he worked for this equity fund company in California. And I also think he spent some time with a company in Atlanta. But I'm not 100%. I know he did his company out in California. And my mind is saying, I'm thinking as he's talking, I'm listening. And I said, that's what we need in Fort Myers.
Yeah.
You know, it just kept saying over and over and over again, you know, to me, you know, I'm a God-fearing man. And I think the Spirit puts stuff in my head at times for what I think I need to be doing, for what I need to be doing.
So
I told him, I said, you know what? That's what we need in Fort Myers.
Yeah.
We need an equity fund that could focus on incentivizing development in Dunbar.
Right.
In the Martin Luther King community.
Right.
Because at the time, John Talmadge had this chart of this information on this thing, and he was showing it to us. And it showed that all over Lee County, there was development going on.
Right.
But not in the Dunbar community. It's like somebody had a bowl, and it looked just like that. Like there was a bowl sitting over the community, and there's all this development going around it, but nothing was happening in that geographical area.
Right.
So I said, you know, and I'm thinking of all this as I'm talking to him and it's coming to me. And that's when we came back and I had to think of who else could I get involved right. in this group. So I went and I talked with a few people first. I talked to John Talmadge. Mm-hmm. I talked to Sarah Owens. Mm-hmm. And then I talked to Dan Obersky.
Okay.
But I didn't want to just talk to him. I wanted him to be a part of it.
Right.
And he agreed.
He agreed,
to be a part
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
And then we had at the time, we had this group here called Second Muse, mm-hmm. who was working. I knew Todd from Second Muse. And then I met Chad, who he also came to be a part of it. Him and Dr. Jewett got to talking. Anthony Jewett got to talking, and they came aboard, too.
Right.
Second Muse did as organization became a part of it.
Right.
And Anthony knew Therese, another young lady named Therese, who worked with him when he was doing this stuff. So she came a part of the group. So it was us. We came together as a group to form Software for the Impact Partners.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And then we went to have meetings, and I knew, and I told him and everyone, I said, well, we're not going to get anything from here right away. So we need somebody, a national or international group or outside the area group
right.
that can give us an influx of money.
Yeah.
And Bank of America made the first commitment of $1 million to us.
That's beautiful.
But it took us almost 5 years,
wow.
4 or 5 years to get that.
Wow. Wow. Now, I don't know if this is rumor. They said there was an hospital in Dunbar community.
Yeah. They used to be where Dr. Elder Piper.
Right.
Yeah, and it used to be right over here where the school and everything.
Okay.
Yeah, they used to have their own. And where Black History is now, it used to be the elderly facility.
That was the elderly facility?
You
okay.
know, old folks.
Okay.
We
right.
know how we
yeah.
talk old folks.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
that's where the elderly used to go to be. Used to live is where Black History is right now in those two buildings.
Okay. A lot of what was there in the early years, a lot of it is gone.
The thing that really drove me
yeah.
to do economic development, because, you know, we got that's where the 21st Century Collaboration Economic Development Committee came from.
Right, right.
Is that community was a thriving, self-sustaining economic driver for this community.
Right.
But over the time, they just, and I think it was intentional, totally wiped out everything that was going on in Martin Luther King.
Wow.
And it wasn't that way because people, was that, I mean, we the community had to do this. We had pharmacies, we had doctors, we had tailors, we had ice cream shops, cafes. Some of everything you needed
was down there.
In Mark Dunbar at Dunbar during that time because you couldn't go nowhere else.
Right.
You had to do everything in the community and you had to do everything there. So that's where everything was for you.
Right.
And we had it. And it was a driver and it sustained. And when they widened Martin Luther King, that just wiped out whatever remaining.
Oh, man. So they bought out a lot of the business then.
Well, yeah, that was on the, especially those on the south side, they had already tore down the ones on the north side mostly.
Oh, man. Wow. So this was happening like what, late 80s?
Early yeah, 90s? Right around there when, right before they widened Martin Luther King, and during that time, they just finished it up with
yeah.
widened Martin Luther King.
Man.
So the collaboration group come back to rezone that area so we can start rekindling and redeveloping. The situation is tougher now.
Right.
I use the scenario, people ask me what happened with that, and I tell them, I said, well, it's just like preacher kids.
Right, right.
I said, what do you mean? I said, well, preacher kids, they have to be at church every time the doors open, because that's where the parents were and that's where they had to go, regardless
right.
if they wanted to go there or not.
Right, right.
And I said, when they turn a certain age where they can get some freedom, they run, they leave their man like hot rod. They mean they burning rubber getting away from that church because
right.
they had to live their whole life in it.
Right, right.
And I said, what happened in the community is they lived the gates at the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
when they raised those gates, then Edison Mall and all them places, boy, and any other restaurant they can go to, people decide to go because they were not able to engage in that kind of stuff before.
Right. Right.
So they left, and they forgot what sustained them in their community.
Right.
And it's up to the community and the people within it to rekindle that.
Right.
And until that happens from within, it very rarely, it most likely would never be a success because you have to support your community. The dollar has to circulate in that community a number of times, not just once or twice, but it need to overly recirculate forever to build up an economy in the community for it to be sustained.
Right.
And I tell my clients too, I said, there's no such thing today, black business or white business or green business. Yellow business, it's all green business.
It's all green business, yeah.
And if you provide a good service and a good, who do you care who come and indulge as long as they pay you for your service?
Right.
And you give them good service, they will. And as long as they come, that's all that matters.
Yes.
So if you build a business, you don't build a business for a geographical area, you build a business for a market.
Right. When NAACP was formed here, what was that looking like for you, like partnering and all that stuff?
Well, in Collier County, I was very much involved in NAACP.
Right.
And when I first come here to Fort Myers, I was involved with NAACP. Mm-hmm. I backed away from all that many years ago.
Yeah.
Even though at one time I was still involved with the state NAACP.
Right.
I wasn't totally engaged here, but I was involved in a number of things that people knew all the stuff I was involved with. They probably say, no way, but I don't talk about all this stuff.
Right.
I just do it.
Right.
And and did it.
Right.
So
people would say a lot of what they were trying to accomplish with NAACP, they never got it accomplished. It was said, but it wasn't really done.
Well, this is my problem. Now, they're here in another area. I've been quiet about this. I've only talked to a very few people about this stuff.
Right.
What people don't understand. I don't even know when it was. It had to be either the very early 70s or the late. It had to be early 70s.
Yeah.
Willie Green and Rita Ballard was NAACP representative at times. Mm-hmm. I was in Naples. And I was dating my first wife at the time, and we were both in high school. And I was sitting at their house. My father-in-law at that time was Herb Cambridge.
Okay.
Herb Cambridge is, people will tell you that knew him, he was one of the most smartest people.
Yeah.
That you ever want to meet in this world. And very articulate and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And Willie Green and Willie Bell came over to see him. Now, at the time when I first saw him, I recognized him, but I wasn't sure where I knew him from when I first saw him. But then when they came in the house,
right?
You know, I said, who are these guys? Because even then, they wore those loud suits.
Yeah.
And I see these guys get out of the car because Herb's den was right at the driveway of his house.
Right.
When you're looking out of the window, you can see the car pull up in the drive. And I'm looking at that. Well, who in the world?
Yeah.
They got these loud suits on and hats and, I mean, you know, reds and peach and all that. I said, man, what in the?
Yeah.
But, you know, they got out of the car and they came in the house. Normally when he gets company like that, when I'm there, I just leave the room. But this time I didn't leave.
Yeah.
I just sat there for whatever reason. And nowadays I see why God intended for me to stay there and listen.
Right.
They were in there. They came in. They introduced me to him. And Herb introduced me to him and all this stuff. And they were in there talking about how to campaign against Lee. See, Herb was I think at that time, he worked for Collier County Schools as the curriculum person for the district.
Yeah.
So they were in there talking, and he was an NAACP person in Collier County.
Right.
They were here in Lee County. But they were talking about how to get the school to hire blacks in middle management, like assistant superintendents and principals and vice principals and all this stuff.
Right.
That's what they were talking about. I'm sitting there, I'm listening. I remember that, like, it's happening. I can see it right now as I'm thinking about it, talking about it. I can see them talking and where they all were sitting in the den and talking about it. They were talking about a letter that needed to be written.
Right.
And how the NAACP do this and how the NAACP can do that. And that's what that conversation was. And I'm going to tell you, it really upset me once.
Yeah.
I was at a event. For some reason in my head, I'm thinking it was the black and white ball, but this has been years ago. And these guys were talking about Willie Ballard and Willie Green.
Okay.
About how they talk.
Right.
You know, and how they, you know, they don't have no their education and all this stuff. So I'm standing, and I was getting fired because all of those guys that I knew in the group, that I knew of, was in education.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
They got their assistant principals. They got these good jobs in the school system.
Yeah.
And all this stuff. I'm sitting there listening to these guys talking, and I'm sitting there, we're standing in line to get, I think it's something, a drink or something. I don't know why we were there. I can't remember all that part.
Right.
And I was getting 38 hot.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was there in that room listening to Herb and them figure out what to do. Regardless of Mr. Green say cheering, because he couldn't see anything say cheering. Cheering.
Yeah.
You know, I know they had their problem. But the fact of the matter is, it took these guys to do what they did.
Right.
For these people that got these good jobs today, even with their education,
right?
If they wouldn't have done what they did in Lee County, see, people forget Lee County was the last county in the whole state, to integrate,
right? Wow!
And it took the Justice Department to make them do it.
Wow! The Justice Department had to step in.
They filed a suit. I forget the guy here in Fort Myers. I can't I should know that. I can.
Yeah.
I don't know why I can't think of his name right now, but I do know who he is, his name. But they had to file a lawsuit to get the school to integrate.
Right. Wow.
So this same system here was still people that left, they still here.
Yeah.
So they weren't hiring blacks no more than school teachers. Right. They weren't hiring them in management or administration levels.
Right.
These guys went out and made that happen. Yeah. But yet they got these good jobs now, and they talk about them like, you know, no man is perfect.
Right.
And I know Willie Green, Willie Ballard and them, they had issues and other things, but but it does not negate the fact of what they did do for this community.
They made things happen.
That's
right. Yeah.
And it's sad that we get so pompous that we forget.
Right.
What started and what got us here.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we need. So, you know, for a lot of people now would want to know, what is the relationship like with the siblings? With all your siblings?
Well, it's only me and Greb and my sister now.
Okay.
And we get along good. We don't have, I mean, you know, we don't have our debates.
Yeah.
You know, I got my way, he got his way.
Yeah.
And my sister, she just stays out of all of it and just tell us to check on her, keep her, take care of her, or whatever. So we do that. And
people was curious about the band you guys had in the early years. What made you guys want to have a band?
Well, all of us, me and my, all of us that had the band, we all was in music.
Okay.
A lot of people don't, you know, these days I don't do that stuff anymore because when I go from one thing to the next, I leave whatever it was and go on.
Right.
I was a singer back then, and I was a drummer.
Okay.
I played the organ, I played the trumpet, and I played percussions.
Wow. Ooh.
Yeah, we had a 10-piece band. It called Changing Faces.
Yeah.
We played at Ramada Inns. We played back in the day. They used to have a club called Big Daddy Lounge. We played there. We went over to Miami. We played Strawberry something place.
And we
came to Fort Myers only once.
Right.
We played at a place on Martin Luther King. I'm forgetting the name of it. Psychedelic something or Shack. I don't know.
It wasn't that McCullum Hall.
No, it wasn't McCullum Hall. It was across the street, down the street, across the street from McCullum Hall at that time.
Okay.
And they had a band here, Slip and Slide, I think. Yeah. And we made an agreement. My brother and I made an agreement with them that we'll stay out of Fort Myers, they stay out of Naples.
Wow.
And we did.
Okay.
But we went everywhere else. And we did very good. We were one of the best bands, according to the radio stations, for a while. We ranked in South Florida. One of the best dance bands in South Florida. We had 10 pieces.
Wow.
We were called Changing Faces Club. We had some everybody represented. We had black, white, Spanish, Mexican. I mean, we had
very diverse.
Very diverse band.
Oh, that's awesome.
And but we did it up, man. We did our thing. And when I left that too.
Yeah. Wow.
Moved on.
Now, with everything that you're doing with Southwest Florida Impact Partners, what is the relationship looking like with the government seeing what you guys are doing, with the impacts you guys are doing? How are they behind that?
Well, the county and the collaboratory both are looking at ways that they can probably help support, keep moving what we did, especially what we did with the opera program.
The opera program, yeah.
Yeah, we generated, out of that, I have about 230 clients.
Mm-hmm.
You're one of them.
Yeah.
And of small businesses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of those businesses did not have a county tax receipt or city tax receipt. They were just out there doing what they do and make money.
Right.
Not every one of them do. They have both a county and a city tax receipt.
Yes.
Because in order to participate in the opera program, you have to have a county.
You have to have a county, yeah.
Even if you do live in the city.
Right, and so forth.
So we have, and now they know, because I've been telling people for years here that the businesses are out there. You just got to give them a reason to show up for the fight.
Right.
And that $20,000 grant gave them a reason to show up.
Especially
when they found some people that they knew was actually getting the grant.
Right.
It wasn't just a conversation.
Right. Yeah.
It was
real.
Yeah. And so we helped. Matter of fact, we had five groups, which was FGCU, Small Business Development Center,
mm-hmm.
Goodwill, SCORE, Manufacturers Association, and us, Southern Florida Impact Partners. We gave out more grant money than any of the other groups. We gave out almost $1 million.
Yeah.
We, I think we processed more clients than anybody.
That's beautiful.
I think we did.
That's beautiful.
But we definitely awarded more grants than any other group.
Yeah.
And, which was very good for us and the community.
Yeah.
So, and they want to see that continue. John Talmadge and, the people here at Collaboratory is trying to figure out a way to and where they can get the funding to try and help continue that development and process, because it's tangible work and success.
Yes.
And it's very beneficial, and they can see the benefit and the reward for it. So, hey, that's what we're trying to do now.
With everything that, you know, we've come from to where we are now, how you feel we have come together as a unit between the blacks, the whites, the Spanish, all the different race that's here right now, in like within the city limits, or however you put it.
Well, in my world, it's pretty good.
Okay.
I have relations. See, that's what people don't understand about anything. And they do, but they live it, but they don't understand. They don't understand and fully focus on that aspect of their life.
Right.
A lot of people don't. Nothing happens without investment.
This is true. Yeah.
It's either your time, your space, your whatever. You have to invest in something to get something back.
Right.
It takes it don't happen.
Yeah.
And that's why I tell all my clients in business, all my business clients,
you
need to sit out there and develop relationships with different institutions. Why I say institutions is because each one of these professions, to me, are considered like institutions.
Right.
Lawyers, bankers, insurance, every aspect of business.
Yes.
You need a direct connection, a relationship with somebody that deals in those areas.
Right. Yeah.
You need them.
Yep.
And it takes you going out, investing yourself in these folks to develop these relationships with people.
You got to show up.
Because you need them to go from an acquaintance to an advocate.
I like that.
I mean, if you go to your banker.
Yes.
Your banker. Yeah. Not the bank.
Right. Your banker.
Not Miss Sally that sit at the same desk every day. You go in there and you just speak because you see her and you recognize her for being there. No.
Right.
You know Miss Sally's got three kids. She got one in the military, one in college, and one at home.
Right.
She got three dogs and a cat.
Yeah.
And they this and that and other. And she got a husband that do whatever.
Right.
You know this because, and then she knows these things about you. You need relationship with her.
Right.
So that when you ask her to help you,
yes.
She is not just helping you. She is now an advocate working on your behalf to get you what you need to do. What you need to do.
Yeah.
And people need to understand that is what makes it work.
Right, right.
Nothing else.
Yeah, nothing else. You got the relationships.
You got relationships, and those are the ones that's going to be with you to the end. Because relationships, people overlook certain things. Relationships overlook mistakes.
Yeah.
Relationships think of you when nobody else is thinking of you.
Right.
And they do what they can to help you. They understand. They will support you.
Yeah.
Acquaintances, they're in and out.
Yeah.
You call them the day they're with you, tomorrow they don't forget all about who you were.
Right.
And you know that does not work.
Right.
What I've done all my life, ever since I was a teenager, is I get to know and develop relationships with people.
That's beautiful.
I'm there for them, and I have an expectation of them being there for me.
Right.
But like I said in the beginning, nothing happens for nobody unless you invest. And what that means is your time.
Right.
If I'm having a bad day and I just need to vent, I go to you, I call you up and I vent. You don't brush me off and say, well, Lee, you know, I got to do something.
Yeah.
No, you take the time. You tell me, if you can't, Lee, give me 5 minutes and I call you back, or can you call me back in five?
Yeah.
You're considerate, you're courteous, you work with me.
Anything
beyond that or less than that?
Yeah. It's no good.
You can't do business and go home every day.
That's true.
It don't work.
That is true. When last you been back to Alabama?
I haven't been to Alabama now in a couple of years, but trust me.
Yeah.
I got an aunt up there, man. She's 92 or 3.
Yeah.
I know I need to go see her.
Yeah.
She's everywhere. I call her to wish her a happy birthday. I have to call everybody else in the family to find her.
Oh,
she done left with one of her friends. She drives.
Okay.
That's right, folks.
She drives.
And if anybody ever been in Alabama.
Yeah.
Driving anywhere, they know that is a crazy place to drive because everything's up, down, curbing. You can't see. And she just will. I know I'm getting flustered, right? But
yeah,
I love her to death. I fuss at her. She fusses back.
Yeah,
okay. Mom, no elder, you don't talk to me like that. This is me. I'm grown. I do what I want. I can love.
Yeah, wow.
But she's 90-some years old, and she get around like she's 30.
Yeah,
and I have to call everybody else in the family to find her. Nobody, most knows. I got one aunt up there. 9 out of 10, she knows where she is. So
right.
I call her now directly instead of calling everybody else first. And she usually knows where she is. So.
Okay.
But I told her, we're taking the keys.
Yeah.
She said, I'm grown. You ain't taking my keys.
Taking her driving privilege.
I'm going to go take the keys, man. She's a trip. So I told my brother the other week, I said, we need to go up there and see her.
Yeah.
Because she's at that age where you never know. And
you never
know. Listening to her and watching her, like she's going everywhere doing all this stuff. We need to see her before.
Wow.
And the rest of them up there are not kids either, so we need to see them too.
That's beautiful, man. On a relaxed day for you, what's your go-to music?
Jazz. If you get in my truck right now, that's what you hear.
Jazz.
I love some good jazz. I was talking to some people downtown a week ago, and I was pushing on them. I said, we need a jazz club here.
Yeah.
A real one. A nice one.
Yeah.
Plush. No. A real upscale
jazz
club
that
serves not a complicated menu.
Right.
But they need to be able to get a good steak or some lobster or something like that. Nice meal. Cook good, taste good, and relax, and listen to some good jazz music.
Who was your favorite jazz guy back in the day?
Oh, God. I know most people probably never heard of this guy. I played for him. I played drums for him came to Naples back then. His name was Spider Martin.
Spider Martin. Oh, wow. Okay.
And he came to Naples, and I met him, and I loved him. But I have all kinds. I used to go to the Jazz in the Gardens over in Miami Gardens every year. And I just love that stuff.
That's beautiful.
I don't have a particular person that's perfect that I like better than anybody else.
Right.
But I really liked him because I played the drums for him, and he was like a creative jazz
player. Right.
You know how that, and I don't know how familiar you are with jazz, but that thing changes all, everything changes in that song. Moving target. Consistent.
Yeah.
And as a drummer, man, I had to learn fast how to keep up with him because I had to change the tempo along with the changes.
So. Right, right.
But I had that experience with him when I was with the band. That night I filled in for him.
Yeah, wow.
Got to know him, talk to him, and all that stuff. And you're cool, man.
That's beautiful, man. For an individual that's in the business that want to start business but feel like, you know, there's no help and they always hear this, you know, 2 to 3 years, you're going to go through some serious struggles before you might make it. What would you say to them?
Well, I'm going to put it like this. And everybody that heard this is nothing new.
Yeah.
Nothing worth anything is cheap or easy.
Yeah, yeah.
And one other criteria I use with people, every client, all 230, almost 230, 200 something, clients that I met, that I took on as clients, if I didn't sense some passion in them when I interviewed them, I didn't bother with them. They were not a client.
Right. I like
don't that. Get in anything that don't have that you don't have a passion for. And it don't have to have a great passion, but some sign of a passion, because I'm going to tell you something. It will get tough.
Yes.
It will get times when you just don't even want to bother with it anymore.
Right.
There'll be times when you just want to throw in the towel and walk away. But see, if you have passion for something, money is not the driver.
That's it.
All that other stuff that people say that pushes and carries you is not it. Right. It's what's in you that's carrying it, that's pushing it. And trust me, at the end of the day, you're going to be doing very well. It will work out for you, and you will get a return on all your investment.
Ooh, I like that right there.
You have to understand that because I teach this. If you got it in you, that means God put it there.
Yes, yes.
And he made it very simple.
Yeah.
He said, your gift will make room for you. That's every human walking on this earth.
Yes, yes.
Was born with something in them.
Yes, yes.
And he's made it very clear, that gift that's in you will make room for you.
Yes.
If you work it, it'll work for you.
It'll work for you. I love that right there. Now, where can individuals find you if they want to find you or get in touch with anyone at Sapwood?
Tell them to call you. You're the only person I know that everybody else that know me don't call me at no 7 in the morning. They at least wait to 8 o'clock. You're the only person in America that called me before 8 o'clock in the morning.
That's my guy right here, people.
I'm just saying,
he's like my mentor, people. You have no idea. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm excited of everything that you shared with our listeners today, because there's a lot of stuff that I'm sure they learned and didn't even know. You touch on some stuff I didn't even know. So this was beautiful.
It is.
But you can find so they can go to the Southwest Florida Impact website.
Yeah, they can go there, or they can, you know, I currently have an office at the Enterprise Center on Martin Luther King. You can always call the Enterprise, Southwest Florida Enterprise Center, and just ask for Southwest Florida Impact Partners, or just ask for Lee Ford.
There you go.
We have a office over at B-Way.
Okay.
Becky there is, as a matter of fact, she's really the one keep all of us going here. She's housed there.
Okay.
And they can always call B-Way and ask for Becky or Southwest Florida Impact Partners there.
Beautiful.
And they'll hook them up with Becky, and Becky can always reach me. Or if you see me walking or talking or something, just walk up and say, hey, my name is so-and-so, can we talk? I'd like to meet with you or whatever. We can do that too.
They don't need to be scared.
No, they don't need to be afraid. I'm no bear now. You know?
There you go. Well, listen, guys. There you have it. Another story has been created. Actually, this one, a loads of story has been created right here at EOS Club. And I got to tell you guys, tune in next time when we have our next entertaining, decorative guest. And just tell it like it is as we go back. Mr. Ford, thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome, man.
This was beautiful. Oh, my goodness.
Well, there you have it. The host came. The guest came. And the story was created. Thank you to our sponsors, EHAS Inc., Karis Capital, and the Cornell Bunting LLC brand. Go check out the books, courses, and materials at www.cornellbunting.com. Thank you again for listening to the show. Check back again to hear another tale from another unique guest right here at EHAS Club.